that chunk of bread. Yeah, go for it. What's your question? You had a question you wanted to ask.
Oh, no, I just requesting if when we get around to it, we can clarify the missis of it and not just dive
in. Oh, okay, yeah, sure.
I'm a little confused on the cases themselves.
Yeah, the cases are a bit. Math is getting tricky. Okay, so let's do it. Okay, so previously on Shear, we were, basically here, although let's just go back to like earlier chart. Right, we had basically Izonam Midin Mita Gezel, right? It's actually Gezel was the sheet of the tour. The idea that it's don't Mita Gezel, that it sort of like triggers like an end result of Gezel, even though it's not actually Gezel. That was like the Peyoshua, Reb Chaim, Alashas. And separately, we had the idea of Reb Chaim Alarambam, who thinks it's a din tashlumin. It's not really that there's any gezel here, like a separate din that you have to give back the money, which definitely opens up the possibility that the emphasis shifts from what you're doing to the victim to the actions of the perpetrator, right? The more that it's about the victim, the more I'm going to say like, oh, well, we're worried about what you did to him and the result of how you were poking at him, and therefore you have his money shelo kedin, or you actually stole from him, you need to give it back. The idea that the tashlumin kind of changes our perspective from what you did to like you have the money and now you need to give it back, right? But it's almost like a din of the totes, a din, refocusing on the perpetrator and how we look at him. The approach of the Ramban seems to be this idea of achva, right? It's about like v'haftol achva kamocha. It's about right not oppressing people, not hurting them, not being mean to them, not taking advantage of them, right? It's sort of this like much more part of the general rule of you have to respect other people and be nice to other people and not take advantage of them, etc. And not really a financial din. And he says, oh, the fact that you ever have to pay back, it's a totally separate din that has almost nothing to do really with the main iser of And finally, we have the shita of the Menchas Chinuch, which kind of filled up an interesting space in the middle, where it is this sort of more like a societal level din, where we want people to not take advantage of each other, and we want to build a just society, and we want a functional society where we have functional markets. And the idea of creating like a good society includes not cheating each other, right? And then he even brings in like, oh, because then your kids will get cheated even if you're really good at cheating, right? So it's like a societal thing. It's not like on the individual level. And also societally, we want there to be food and other items available to purchase. So we want a free market. So we kind of balance those two by having a regulated free market. That's the sheet of Menachas Chinuch. So it's kind of a combination of like the more monetary side of things a little bit, right? The emphasis is definitely on the moral side of things, but it's not like a personal, like, oh, you took advantage and that was bad, right? Like the Ramban, like more of a haftol recha kamocha, but more on like a societal level of we have an obligation to create just society, and society which will lead to people not taking advantage of each other, and therefore it also is balanced by the societal need for free markets. Okay, zooming all the way back ahead with so much enough minutes to that. The question is, right, how exactly are you going to define this value? So, right, so the mission says, Eilu Zorim She'en La'emona, Avadim Shtaros V'Karkos, V'Akadations. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afa Mocher Sefer Torah, Behima Margolios, In La'emona, the Mishnah says there are three things that don't have ona: avadim, shtaros, and karkos, and hekdesh. In general, those four are sort of different on a monetary level. They just have different dinim, right? In many ways, we kind of see them as either being above or below, like the standard concept of regular object value. All right, so let's say karka is karka, it's permanent, it's real estate, as opposed to, metal, everything else you could possibly buy, which is fake estate. So, karka has like super value, which makes it hard to really deal with in a clear way. It also is tied to its owners, to potentially its previous, you know, owners by Yovel, in ways which make it a little bit more complicated than a standard transaction. Right? Sometimes when you're buying karka, you're not really buying the karka. Right? You're buying the usage of the karka, but you don't really gain full ownership of the karka, things like that. So it's both better and less. Avadim are people, so you get to do stuff. On the other hand, they're not really an object, which makes things a little hairy. Shtaros in the opposite direction. Shtaros aren't really valuable at all in and of themselves. They're useful, but they're not actually valuable, right? Shtar says that you have proof to something, right? But in and of itself, it doesn't actually have value, right? It's sort of like it's a davar hagorim lamon. Having one can be helpful, right? And you can definitely lose money by not having one, but it itself is not inherently valuable. Right? And hekdeshos, going to hekdesh and going to God, and then it's a sort of a whole different system. Fine. So far, that's not too crazy. Rabbi Huda that says, if you're selling something like a Sefer Torah, a behema, or like a diamond, you know, then, or pearls, right? In lehem ona. Those don't have ona. They say back to him, no, only the ones listed in the Mishnah. Why would Rabbi Huda say this? So Rabbi Huda says, Afimofer Sefer Torah, my girls, behema in lehem ona. Tanya, Rabbi Huda Omer, Afimofer Sefer Torah in lehem ona. Why? With these shame kids on the map. So Sefer Torah, because you can't give me a dollar value for a Sefer Torah. It's a Sefer Torah, right? I, you know, switched into the Ashkenazis there. Like, it's a Sefer Torah. You can't give it a dollar value, Rahmanul. Okay, so that's like a decent reason. I think that's actually, it mostly makes sense. You know, the guy told you how much he wants for the Sefer Torah, and you're like, wow, I just want a Sefer Torah, you know? And it's more mahudr, the more money you spend on it. So, you know, many people have fallen for that trick. So it's in law, in case of the math. So far, that I'm willing to buy. Behemo margolis in lehem ona. These are clearly objects that have a value. There definitely is a limit to their value. So the answer is, oh, b'nei she'adam rotze lezav. Okay, a person wants to match them, pair them with another one. Okay, we'll see Rashi in a second. So amrullah, hello, call adam rotze lezav. So they say back, I mean, everything people want for some sort of specific purpose. Okay, Rehuda's point here is that you want to use it for something where this specific one pairs nicely, let's say, with another pearl. You have a certain pearl, and it has certain qualities to it. And together with this other pearl, it would look really beautiful in a piece of jewelry or in a statue or in whatever, right? So each one alone might be worth a certain amount. But for you to have the two of them together, right, makes it that much more valuable. Right? That's what Rabbi Huda is going for. And they say back, well, yeah, you know, everyone, hakala the mozzazak. Rabbi Huda is limited. Hani chashivale, hani lo chashivale. These things are often very chashiv. Right? So when it comes to like diamonds, right, or works of art, someone who's a collector who has, you know, 9 out of 10 pieces of art by a certain artist, right? For him, he's willing to pay a lot more than it's like official market value. Okay, vad kama. Okay, to what extent? You know, is there a limit on Rabbi Huda? So the Gemara says, oh, remember, I can demand only up to, right, an extra to paying double their real value. Okay, time Rabbi Huda b'seir omer afa bochar sus v'sayef v'chatitom v'melchama. If you're selling weapons during a war, in lehem ona, there's no yishmen b'chay nefesh, right? Because it's just like chay nefesh, and it's like your life depends on it, so it's just worth a lot more. Okay? So the question is, what's the logic here? Right? What's the logic here, number one? Number two is, whatever explanation we come up for the logic or Yehuda, we're going to have to explain why the Chacham disagree.
It reminds me a lot of an alibi. Like, I mean, not necessarily like the role of like the argument against it would be the role that people play in the market, but it's a question of like putting a value on sentimentality. There's like really a subjective element, or not as a sentimentality, but a subjective element to how you relate to this item and how much you want it in a way that is potentially independent of its pure market value.
Right. Now, what's interesting though here is that it's flipped, right? Because it's on the buyer, or it's on the, right, the sentimentality, right, is dafka on the buyer, is the person who is paying extra, not the person who's demanding extra.
Yeah, could you say the same for the Sefer Torah, though? I think it can go either way for the Sefer Torah.
With the Sefer Torah, well, Sefer Torah, the seller is charging more because, Sefer Torah, he already said was different, right? If he ain't kateful the man, right? That one, I think you can argue is leaving that one on the side. I don't know. It's like Doma Tektish. It's just like each one's unique and like.
I think it could be grouped with the other two to the extent that it's like very hush. Like,
yeah, you definitely couldn't group it because you're just saying it. So the Gemara splits them.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. You could bring it in, and I would have, and I still kind of do think so. Maskana. I'm just not totally sure how much we could build our opinion of Rabbi Yehuda off of Sefer Torah because he explicitly says, right, that one's different than the others.
I'm sorry, I don't remember off the top of my head. Is Rabbi Yehuda part of the discussion of Anat Balabai?
I don't think so. I don't have to check back. Rabbi Yehuda also said in Onat Tagar, though, which was important.
Well, that kind of makes sense, though, because he's not... I would think that with Anat Balabai, you can look at this case and say, okay, great, it's chashiv to you, but at the end of the day, we're dealing with the market, right? Once you're dealing with the market, you just don't... It's Onat, period. So once you're willing to compromise it for a tagger, you're willing to compromise it based off of what the merchant's selling. At least that would be my initial thought.
Yes, right. I think it does connect totally to to Rabbi Yehuda before. Very good, right? Rabbi Yehuda said, "Inon al tagger." If there's inon al tagger, because right, yada dizvinte kamashavya vachule achil gabei, right. So if we take tagger inlo not mishu baki. He knows that it's worth not that worth that much, but for him it's worth it in this particular circumstance. Right? So Yehuda holds that we follow is the person being deceived, right? And the person is not being deceived. Made the yade zvente kamashavya, right? But in Lona, because he knows that, but since he wants to do it, it doesn't matter that it's against the market price. Right, and then the Chachamim could say consistently, right? That no, the value is the market price. We don't only care about the mitaneh, right? We care about the fact that you're charging someone more than the market price. Right? You're taking his money shelo kedin. You're acting in a manner that's not acceptable, right? But it's dependent on the market, and it's not dependent on the guy's das effect. Right? So that could be one explanation of Rabbi Yehuda, right? And and therefore, like he's willing to forego it. Okay. Let's see Rashi and the Ramban. Right? The Rashi explains like Lizavgan, Mishi Yisro Shor Yafe Lacharisha, and Mechazer Laachar Shekimoso Litzamdo Imo Baal, Kishematz Mit Shor Chalashim Habari Mikalka Zabari. If you have them unequally matched, cows, so then the strong one's going to end up getting hurt by the fact that the other one is not pulling its own weight. If you have like a special diamond and you found another one that's just like it, so you can make an extra special piece of jewelry. So it says that I'm done. Right? Only if the lokeach was nisane, but if the mocher was nisane, then it's chozer, right? Because why? The kosher can be elu shechaviv and alei. It's really just it's a din in the purchaser that the purchaser is willing to pay extra. Av lokeach part mishal lokeach biyoser midemehem ad kidei demehem. Av al kidei demehem yesh lamona. Right? Why? Why do we have to make the cutoff at twice the value? So the answer is it's an evaluation of the person's das. Says, right, we don't pass in this way, but it's an evaluation of the das of the purchaser that he's willing to pay extra and he knows that he's paying more, right? Or he suspects he's paying more, but he's fine with that. But only up to double the value of the item.
Would we potentially generalize that to Karkaot and other fields, or is that only for these three like items?
Yes. Great question. We're going to deal with that when we deal with Inonala Karkaos and stuff like that. But absolutely. That could definitely be part of the issue when it comes to Karkaos, is maybe, and this is the Ramban, I think, Lashitaso, I think the Ramban actually says this about Karkaos as well, was that when it comes to certain things, people really want it, right? And if you look at real estate prices, it can be insane, right? But people are willing to pay insane amounts because they want a house and they want it in a certain neighborhood. Even if it's more than the market value of real estate in that neighborhood, they want to, I don't know, move to Teaneck, and they want to be with all their friends. So if that's the available house, if they're getting charged up the wazoo, they're like, okay, but I'm still willing to pay that, right? That definitely happens. So it's an das, though, that there's a gvul, right? There's a limit to how much you're willing to get ripped off, right? Just because you really want it. And the Rambam says, okay, that goes till double, right? So dafka actually works nicely. The fact that there's this shear of double, right, kind of shows that, oh, it's like kind of like a gag on like how much the person's willing to pay extra, right? And it's about whether or not he feels or he is being cheated. Okay. What's our problem? We should take up a problem here. So I'm Rav Yosef. Mina amina la. The tiny eagles are the pidyon bini, tals are the pidyon bini, lo, or clone, eagle is a bit of bechamish slime, the pidyon bini. Talzu bechamish slime, the pidyon bini, no padu. How pidyon hechidam, ili below shavi. Let's say you want to do pidyon a ben with an object. So you say it's worth 5 slime. Let's say it's not actually worth that. Kol kimine, can you be poted with something that's not worth 5 slime? Elalav, avogav, de shavi, the kimin the lo kaitzi lo. Is oh. It must be that the case is where it's just not something that whose value is clear. And since its value is not clear, you can't use it. Well, that's what the Gemara says, no. Lo'ola d'lo shavi. It's actually a case where the object isn't worth 5 slime, and you need 5 slime for pidyon haben. Could go de kabil kohen ilavein. But the Gemara says, for me, I'm machshev it as 5 slime. Ki hadar of kahana shakil sodrum yibay pidyon haben. Rav Kahana got a sudar, like a handkerchief, for pidyon haben from someone. For me, this is worth 5 slime. Okay? Why? Because I'm the cabalet as if it's worth 5 slime. So I'm Ravashi, lo Amran Eliki Gon of Kana. That's a special case. That's Kafka Rav Kana. Why? Digavra Rabahu, we buy le sudra reshe, about Kule Almala. Okay? Aiki Adam Marabara, Ravashi Zavan sudra mihime, the Rabba Mikubi, Shavia Sara, Bitlesa. Okay? So, if you're a rabbi, right? Someone's selling a borsal, gives you a borsalino, black hat. Now, let's say the black hat's worth $100, right? But for you as a rabbi, it's worth $200. Why? Because without your black hat, you're just not a rabbi, right? Yeah. So says Rav Ashi. For Rav Kahana, he could say, oh, this is like Nechshav really worth 5 slime. Because for me, right, I'm Nechshav it as 5 slime because part of his job for him, he really needs it and it's really worth it for him to pay extra. Now, what's the problem? This Gemara seems to be saying exactly what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, right? If someone particularly wants object X, then is right, then you could charge them more. Right? Or they could treat it as worth more. Or it is worth more. Right? Problem is that Rabbi Yehuda, we don't possibly like Rabbi Yehuda. Or maybe we should. Yeah, Rachel.
Well, you're saying in terms of individuals wanting it more, but like in your example of Teaneck or property values, not specifically Teaneck, that value, I guess, is generated differently. Like it's not a preference for the person, but it's that because of the society, like there's a certain value attributed to it.
No. So, I'm saying like this. Let's say there's a certain market value in Teaneck.
Oh, okay, then that's different.
And then
so I guess market value is okay, fine.
Right, but fine. You want to move right next to your parents. Or right. You want to move right next to your best friend. Right?
I still have been wondering how the Gemara is planning to determine what market value is. Like, do they talk about different factors that go into it?
There's a lot of discussion about how do you evaluate what the market value is. That's something we're gonna talk about.
Okay,
there is like a market value, just like something you could, you know, there is like an average of like Be'erech per square meter, like how much is real estate in a certain area worth.
Okay.
Right? It's something that exists. You know, again, there are all sorts of factors, but anyway, so this seems to be a bit of a catch, right? Because it seems like we're paskening Rabbi Yehuda here, or something similar to Rabbi Yehuda, right? Says Ritva, Shemina Mehacha, Sham Bukhar Chavit Lachavero Bisho, Lo Shabe El Chamisha, Ila Hai Lokeach Shavichisa in Boona, the Basa Dideazim. So you could have gotten out of this and said, yeah, we don't pass like this, right? This is a review that, and we just don't agree. But the Ritva seems to say, actually pass it, right? He says, yeah, of course, because for this Lokeach, it's worth more. The Basa Dideazim. Kehechi de Chashivina Lehacha de Shavi Chamish Lai. Mihu dafka b'dishavi lizvuna shisa ki urche, aval ili didei lo shavi, ela b'neshehu dachuk b'davar, havadai k'titza mitoch adchak lo shmei k'titza. V'afilu nasa lo adamim chozer v'gova osa mimenu, v'achim luchach bibu. Right, but then he says, but if you only agree because he's kind of like over a barrel, because he's a little stuck, it's not really worth it for him. But he's just stuck. He just needs it, right? Then it's a count. So what does that mean? Right? Either you say, it's chashuv lei, or he's willing to do it. But here he agreed, right? He knows that he needs it, so he's willing to pay the extra money, right? He doesn't want to, right? What's the chat? Right? It says it says. Masha Kazav the Hekha the Shabel Hai Lokeach Shisa Azlina Basar Dide. Kasha mehad the Kaimalan, a filu bimar Gali also shad varm, shadam rotsa lazav, man yishlo na. Mashma da filu halokeach, kufay tzarechlo. Because I don't get it. Right? You pass my tachachamim. So how can the Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan passes both in these cases, and Richard should pass both in these cases. So Nesiva says, Uze pasa gamkin a ritva, the ish shabeli dide in ba'ona, behind ubi yad. He says, it's a case where he knows explicitly, right? In Bona, because he explicitly, you know, he explicitly says that he knows that it's not worth it, right? And there's a case where it's not Yada, he doesn't know what the exact market price is and what the difference is. It's not Mashman. I don't think that's what Mashman is. Maybe that's the Nesivus' terrorist of the Pixels. How else can we answer this? Yeah, Tila?
A question on the Ritva, so maybe I'll wait till you're done with the Nesivus here.
Yeah, I'm not with the Nesivus.
Okay.
He just tries to make a chiluk with Mitzias, right? He acknowledges the question, and he's like, but there's a Mitzias difference. In that the case of Ona is where the guy knows how much it's really worth and how much he's being mavat there on. Sorry, case of Ona is where he doesn't know, hasn't been made explicit. He knows he might be overpaying, but right, he really wants it. And in this case, he knows exactly how much he's overpaying and he's mavat there on.
So I'm just like very intrigued by the idea of saying because it's worth this much to him, there's no ona, just stating it that way, because we haven't seen it stated subjectively so far.
Right.
Like it's one, like, I think like what we've seen maybe like, like he's like mochel or like he doesn't care, like he knows he's overpaying, but just saying there's no ona, how like that seems like a different definition of this or.
Right. And what's even more interesting. So first of all, you could say, right. There's difference in saying he knows and it's worth it for him, right? That would be the first chakira that I could have that I would come up with. And I'd say in the case of Ona of Rabbi Yehuda, it's chashuv lei. He's willing to pay the extra money, but it's not really worth. It's not like he's like, this diamond is worth X amount for me, right? He just let's say he knows he can make a profit off of it, or he wants to use it, or he wants it really badly, right? But it's not necessarily that for him, it's really worth this amount of money. right? The Ritva, right, seems to be making this sort of chila of this dachuk badavar, right? He really needs it, so he's willing to pay the extra money, and it's actually worth it, right? Now the question is, well, how exactly would I define something like that? Yeah, Rachel.
Well, it seemed like we were mentioning before it, of like where the 1/6 came from in terms of establishing his dash. So it seems like that's what we're saying. I'm just repeating, I guess, that we're trying to establish his dash, like in a case where we would think that he'd go through with it or where he wouldn't. So it's the same thing as the 1/6 in the sense of, does he have dash for it or not? But it's almost taking a different.
Yeah. Here, you're breaking up a little bit, so I'm not totally sure what you're saying. But
oh,
I think,
sorry.
No, it's fine. I say here is, right? It doesn't seem like, in both cases, according to the Ritva, he knows the price difference. Right? Just one case, he's dachuk badavar, and the other case, it's baser dideyaz linan, and for him, it's worth it.
Right. Maybe I misunderstood. I thought before that we were. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, maybe it's. I thought before that if it's over one, where someone would say, if it's over 1/6, then we assume they obviously didn't have das to go through with the purchase. Even
if
though
it,
they.
No, that was about Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says if it's more than double, even Rabbi Yehuda admits that it's not going to work.
Okay. Because of
okay,
that.
So one second. So how can we explain the how can we explain the Ritva? Any ideas? So we'll go back to the Gemara. So my first example, I'll give as follows. How much is a t-shirt worth in Century 21? Zichro Levracha.
Wait, what's the object?
A t-shirt.
Oh, a t-shirt. Okay. $15.
Exactly.
On a good day.
How much is the same t-shirt worth on Madison Avenue? It's literally the same t-shirt with the same thing. How much is it worth?
$100.
Exactly. Now, is that enough?
No, its value is different.
The same one, same branding and everything.
Right. The value is. It's gotten because it's on Madison Avenue.
Exactly.
More value.
Right? So the first thing I want to introduce is the idea of micro markets, right? Madison Avenue and the Century 21, a 10-minute subway ride away, are two different markets, right? Rabbis for black, right? A black hat store for rabbis or black hats for rabbis or Kana could be a different market than other people, right? There's a whole different ecosystem of selling things to rich people and selling things to normal other people, right? Or selling things in a boutique store or in a box store, right? These are two different markets, right? Similarly, you could also, that's one. Point number two, I would argue, or I would suggest, is there's also the possibility that there are two, we could focus on the market value, right, versus the personal value. And that's what I think our Netiyah has been so far. The Chachamim versus Rabbi Yehuda focuses mostly on market value versus personal value, right? Rabbi Yehuda says we go based on the personal value or the person's das, right? One option is Rabbi Yehuda says personal das. Another option to say, it's not that Rabbi Yehuda goes after your das, it goes after its value to you, right? But it's not its personal value. Chachamim say it has to go based on Mark event. Right? Now, if so, Chachamim could say, yeah, but market value, right, could depends on what market you're in, right? And you can have a localized market. What's a perfect nafkamina between these two? If it's dochuk badavar, so for him, he needs to agree, so he's willing to agree, right? He has das to agree, but, right, market-wise, it's not worth it, okay? Now, I would say the Ritva might be saying something even more extreme than this, right? I think the Ritva is saying something more extreme than this because here he says dachuk badavar versus shave, right? Lahai lokeach shave. For this guy, it's worth X amount of money, okay? Why? Now, that introduces the idea of personal value, okay? Now, that is beyond market value. It's saying this object has a certain inherent value. Okay, but that value changes to different people. Until now, we've mostly been looking at the idea of ona as being not just measured in market value, but being about market value, right? The market determines the value of this object, and therefore, monetarily, you only have the right to a certain amount of compensation for this object, right? Because the market determines the value of the object. I think what the Ritva is suggesting here is that that's not really true, right? You can't overcharge for the object, right? But you can't charge more than the value of the object. Normally, we evaluate that value based on the market price, but that's not necessarily the controlling variable, right? The value's object could be determined by the lokeach, by this person. How much is it shoved into him? If we go back to our black hat case, we'll say the following. For me, right, for a rabbi, having a black hat is much more valuable than it is to most other people, right? Think. A black borsolino, right, to most of us is, I have one. I haven't worn it in a long time, but. Right? A black borsolino, the maisa, is like, okay, if you're in a community in a shul where like everyone wears one, so you gotta wear one. But otherwise, right, if you like live in Israel, then it's like a random piece of headgear that like you just never wear, you just like have it in a corner or something, right? In which case the object isn't worth very much. If you're a rabbi, right, then in the same market, suddenly it's worth a lot because if you don't have black hat, you're not a rabbi, right? So it's literally your staff of office. So the hat has a different value because it's something totally different for these different people, right? For your average Israeli, a black borsolino is a child's dress-up toy, right? If you're a rabbi, then a black borsolino, right, is your garb of office. Right, it's the source of your authority. Right, it's very valuable. Now, that's not to say that the rabbi is a different market, right? Because let's say you're walking into the same store. It's not one store's in Madison Avenue and one store's, you know, in the Bronx, right? It's the same store, but for the rabbi, it's actually just worth more money. Okay, now if you take that approach, what you are assuming, or what it assumes, right, is that ona is connected to the value of the object and in large part also to your relationship to the other person, right? Are you cheating this person, right? Are you harming him? So the more you think it's about harming them, the more that you can argue that if this is actually worth it for them, not because it's dachuk, because for some reason he actually needs it. You know, it's like that, those classic, you know, the case where like the guy, you know, he's running away from, I don't know, a hitman or something. And like, he needs the disguise, you know, and he's like, quick, I need a fake beard. And the guy in the costume store is like, oh, you need the fake beard? $100 for the fake beard, right? As opposed, so that's dachuk bo, he needs it, right? But it's not inherently more valuable for him, right? As opposed to it's worth it for him, it's because this black hat for a rabbi actually like is his, you know, is his job. Right? So then I could say that you're not harming him by charging him more for it, because it really is worth more for him. Right? If a little kid comes in and wants a Borsellino, and you happen to have, like, I don't know, you're like, well, I have too many, I'm like closing my store soon, so like, fine, I'll give it to him for like a third of the price. It's like, whatever, he wants it for Purim, fine, you know, give it to him for super cheap, right? And then a rabbi comes in and is like, well, I need a new Borsellino, and you're like, smack, I'm gonna make a sale, right? Right before I go out of business, Baruch Hashem. Okay, so that's different than saying there's micro markets, but it's still a din in markets. And here we're suggesting, and this isn't really a market din, this is an idea like the object has inherent value, but that changes who it's being sold to. Okay, the Sholomeship has like a slightly different twist on this. There's Chalila Shigite Bazar Ritva. Aval Kavana Sivrei HaRitva Nir Lifnei HaSanctis. What does the Ritva really mean? Right? How is he not so sorry, Gemara Barona? Yishti Mine Shovu. He says there are two types of value. There's value in that you know that if you buy this, you could make something really valuable out of it and sell it for a lot of money, right? So the what? There are things which are, the value is inherent, and there are things which are useful, and you could use them to make money, right? And those are two different things. An object can be worth something, right? Or it could be that right now, if you have this object, you could use it to make more money. That doesn't make the object inherently more valuable, right? It does make it something that worth paying more money for. Some fancy garb that only important people wear, or local garb of a special country. Someone who comes from a country where you wear a turban, so for him a turban is worth money, right? If the same place in the same market, just the person is a random American, but he's buying it as a perm costume, so it's just not as valuable, right? But if someone who actually comes from a country where they wear turbans, right? Or Professor Quirrell walks in and he wants a turban, for him, it's not just a perm costume, right? And therefore, for him, it, the etzem is actually more valuable. The Shapir Lamdu Midrav Kahana, the Gavra Rabbi, right? If you're a chassid, a shtreimel is worth a lot of money, right? If you're Stam Adati Lumi kid, it's a perm costume, right? So the same shtreimel is just worth a different amount to different people. Not because they're going to use it differently, but because the value that it has inherently changes depending on who the person is. And that's like a very cool idea, because it's like kind of very postmodern, right? It's the idea like the value of, or the nature of the object changes depending on who's beholding it, right? Right? It changes not just its circumstantial value, it changes its inherent value. Right? Even though in the shuk, if you go out to the market, the market value remains the same. That's because most people in the market don't wear these, right? Most people in Alon Shuvah don't wear a shtreimel. Right? So this changes Ona. It says Ona is not a din in the market. Ona is a din in the person, right? And the inherent value of the object vis-a-vis this person. Yeah, Rachel.
I had a hard time processing his example because his example sounded like a different market.
Nira goes to the same market, but the person buying it happens to be, right?
Oh, okay.
A place where they count it. Minya Chassid comes to Alon Shabbat, and he sees that in the Makolad, they're selling Shtreimlach for, you know, Shtreimel prices. Right? Okay. Or I'd say more accurately, like this. Comes to the Yemei Yun in Alon Shabbat. There's like a whole market going on outside. And in that market, there are people selling Shtreimlach for extra cheap so that you could dress up as a Chassid. And then, right, but he goes to someone and he wants, and he paid his, the actual, you know, price that a chassid would pay for a shtarker shtayim. So that's na'una, because for him it really is worth this much. Even though in that market,
na'una in a loan shtayim,
right, it would be, it's much above, it's way above the market price. Okay? Now, ironically, that idea either right that moves it into the Chefza. Sorry, before I get to the chart, that idea, to go back to our like original stuff, that it's dependent on the value be'etzem, that works well based on either according to the idea that it's gazel, because you can say, but now it's not gazel, because for him he really did have das to be koneh, right? Because for him, it's really worth this much. So there's no chisar on das. It also works if you think that it's a din of yahafta l'reacha kamocha, because in this case, there's no problem with yahafta l'reacha kamocha because it's really worth this much for him. You're not abusing it, right? You're not hurting it. According to the Minchas Chinuch, though, Sefer Chinuch, right, that it's about, it's actually a din in markets, in halacha's tfisa of capitalism and market capitalism, right, and moral markets. So this would actually not be a reasonable explanation, right? Because according to the Sefer HaChinuch, Ona is all about the market. It can't be personalized, right? So ironically, it works with both extremes, but it doesn't work with the middle sheet of the Minchas Chinuch, of the Sefer HaChinuch. Okay, Tila.
How do you think the Ritva would handle the case of the Rotzel Azavkan? Because that's not necessarily market dependent, it's just very situational.
Right. I would say that I think the Ritva probably holds something like the Sholo Meshiv, right? Where that's contextual value, it's not inherent value. Right? It's Shavu Lezeh Mipnei Sheyuchal Lasos Mehem Klina Sheyachal Azavkan. That's what the Ritva would call he really wants to combine it with this other one, but it itself isn't more invaluable to him, right? He just wants to do something specific with it, right? I think the Ritva is like the Sholem Yeshiv. I think we could explain it based on the idea of micro markets if we want to say explain according to Sefer HaChinuch. Okay, so this idea of Shavu Bishvilo, we can explain in a few different ways, right? One, right, is the idea of like context, like market values, right? If it's like a, you know, designer store, if it's Madison Avenue, then contextually it's just more, that is the market value. And therefore, we go by the context, right? Or it's this chilek between Shavu Bechefza versus contextual value. How much you're going to use it for and how much it's actually worth, right? Or it actually goes by the value in the shuk, right? And the answer, and the subjective value just doesn't count at all, ever, right? Or you can say it's like, oh, the deceiver says, like, well, he really knows and he's being mochel. But, you know, that's a Yehuda. And the Chacham say, no, since he's dachak badavar, right, Lash makes tzitza, and he doesn't really agree. He just kind of stuck because you have him over a battle. But he's not really agreeing to it. It's not really being mochel. Got it? Okay, shook off. Okay, I sent out Numikoros on Ona Pachos Mishtas. Now, what happens if you charge more than its value, but less than a six? Is that like okay? Is that mutter? Is that not ona at all? Is like what is it? You know? Should we call it ona? Are you overcharging? Like what's it? Why is less than a shtus not gonna have to get paid back? Okay, shkach.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.